seemingly harsh words followed up with words of comfort. Sometimes you wonder who he's talking to. Well, he's talking to the brothers. We see that in many places here it says brethren or brothers, which actually in the context means brothers and sisters. It means the family of the Lord. Why would he talk so harsh? I think he's evangelizing myself. I think he's talking to the world as it is as well. We can see some of those things, especially in chapter 5. We'll get into next week more of what is happening. He says it's in the last days, how they're treating people. What's happening in the last days. But we see those days creeping up on us. Let's just dive in here. James 4. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. All of this catches my attention nowadays, but the text that catches me more than anything is, if the Lord wills, we will live. We can't even live without the Lord, first of all, of course, you know, giving us breath. He formed you in your mother's womb. Psalms is really clear about that. He is a creator. There is no such thing as evolution, which the church is being caught up in, by the way. They're starting to believe that trash. The Lord gives us life. If he gives us life, again, like I mentioned last week, many would say, well, then you're on your own. Rise up and do whatever you want, or you got to make it on your own. You have to endure to the end. And yet we know, and you and I know, that there is such a thing as an election. We don't understand all that context, but we know it. We are only here because God called us. Let's just face that. I liked how somebody put it the other day. I think it was David Jeremiah. He got it from somebody where it's like this. You walk into a doorway, and the doorway says, all who may enter, all whosoever will may enter. And you enter the doorway and you look behind you and it talks about you were called and elected. Once you're in there, we don't understand it all. But let's just face the facts. We're alive because God wills it. So if we can settle that here and now as the foundation of our life, then we can say, okay, Lord, now I know I have things to do. And I know I have things, you know, all this kind of stuff to go through and stuff. But who am I going to lean on? Who am I going to lean on? Because before I was born, nobody even knew my name. Knew my name. Oh, yeah, maybe a month or so. Maybe they know it's a boy. I don't think my mom and dad knew it was a boy. Maybe. I don't know. We're going to call him Ray Jr. Well, how many days in advance? How many days in advance? Not many. But the Lord God, before the foundation of the world, knew that you were going to be born, and then you were going to be called, and then he knew you would choose. We know that. So now what? Who are we going to lean on, and where are we going to go for our help in these difficult times? Well, James makes it pretty clear. If we lean on ourselves, we're not only prideful, but we have set ourselves against the sovereign God. We go about our lives making my own choices, not even asking the Lord, just kind of going along, making our own choices. And the Lord's going on the sidelines, hey buddy, you don't know the next day. You don't even know the next hour. How are you making these choices without me? You know, Isaiah 44. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Look, and his Redeemer. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there's no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me. Since I appointed an ancient people, let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have you been concerned the last week? You've been scared the last month or year? When COVID hit our family and COVID hit the church? The Wuhan Chinese virus? I will never let them forget. Were you concerned? Driving across country, many of you maybe gone on vacation, business trips. I heard of one going out to the east, shunned by people. Going out to the west, everybody's got a mask on, fine, that's their, fine, yeah. But here's the issue. People are living out of fear. And the Lord says, fear not. That's a command over and over in Scripture. Do not be afraid. If you're afraid, you have no hope. If you have hope, you're concerned. We don't want to see our own people die. We don't want to see 13 soldiers die, do we? Anybody see this week coming? Anybody see a day, a certain day coming? I showed this last week downloaded this last week. Being a weatherman, I was looking at some different stuff I'll talk about tonight. But just so happens, in the Gulf of Mexico there, you can see a red dot. Everybody see that? Lower right? You can see the little red swirl? That was a prognosis a week ago of Hurricane Ida, which they had a name lined up, but they hadn't named this baby yet. And that's where they put her, with such and such a strength. Okay? And then, yesterday, that's where she was. A few hundred miles off, I would say. A few millibars lower, which is dangerous. A lot bigger. Only 2 days ago, they had it like a Cat 3. And now it's pert near a Cat 5, which will be the strongest hurricane to hit Louisiana, I think. They've had two Cat 4s. They didn't catch that. Well, we try our best. And I was there and we try our best. You got to give the pilots, some data. You got to give some people some data so they can do their work. And the farmers got to have data. And we all understand that. They're trying their best. But in the 21st century, this is the best. And it's not close. Anybody see this one coming? Oh yeah, we had people say, well, yeah, to be frank, President Trump, I think had a good plan. If you read through it, he had a good plan. You were dickering through the plan, but he had contingencies because he had no idea what the Taliban were going to be doing or the other enemies were going to be doing, this new ISIS-K, just call them ISIS. They're all the same. Anybody see that day coming? 13 of our men died that day. Some people say they saw something coming. The Lord knew that day. Then you have a man who says he knows, and he was talking to Prime Minister Bennett the other day from Israel. And Israel is giving Biden a whole lot of credit. You've been our friend for 50 years. And at the end of the interview, Biden said that. You've given me credit, much of which goes to Barack Obama. All right. Credit for what? For really, to be frank with you, not knowing. And not yielding to dangers and especially the will of God. These are easy examples, aren't they? It's easy for me to pick on these guys. This is out in public. This is after the fact. This is armchair quarterbacking kind of thing in 2020 hindsight. Some people predicted what was going to happen. Some things were dangerous. But here's the fact. Men don't know. Men and women do not know the future. We don't know what's going to happen 30 seconds from now. We don't have a clue. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. Behold, the former things have happened, and now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. I remember going through youth group, and there was a college-age student, we'll say. He was helping out with the age group. And in one of the lessons, he was talking about an example. I can't remember what the example was going on there. Something drastic was happening in the church. Somebody who was being prideful and something was happening, not in our local church, in the church at large. And something happened to that person. And I remember this man saying, the Lord doesn't share his glory with anybody. He doesn't share his glory with anybody. Now, in the millennial kingdom and on, we can talk about the Lord exalting you and becoming, you know, that new being. But in this time frame, he can't share it with anybody, because as Jesus says, I know what's in the hearts of men. I know what's in the hearts of men. It should concern all of us. What is in the hearts of the governments? And we should be concerned even some about what is in our hearts. Why am I making decisions? Why do I do what I do? From day in and day out. When I open my eyes, what's the first things that come out of my mouth? What are the first thoughts that come out of my mouth, in my mind? What am I going to do for the day? And do I ever ask God, what am I going to do today, Lord? What am I going to do? Where are we to go? You have the words of eternal life, Peter said. Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens, daily. The God of our salvation, Selah. Meditate on that. Think about it. Grab your coffee, go down by the river, and think about it. Because he does it daily. Our God is a God of deliverance. The Lord God is our rescuer from death. Surely God will crush the heads of his enemies, the hairy crowns of those who persist in guilty ways. And by the way, if he does call us home, and if we do die, Psalm 49:15, but God will redeem my life from Sheol. You win. You win. You die, you win. You live, you win. For he will surely take me to himself. That's our great hope. And more than anything right now, we need that hope. We need hope in God. Hope in his Son. Now in Hebrews 1, verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these days, these last days, like James just warned us about, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. I don't need a prophet or a so-called prophet to tell me what I need to be doing with my life. You may need a teacher, because some are given to teach. Okay? We acknowledge that. There are spirits, there are gifts of spirits of the Spirit to his people. We understand that. But we can't make it without a church. We can't make it as the organism of without the organism of Christ. You've heard of the new Reformation movement or the new Apostolic Reformation? You've heard of that? Where now men are going around and saying, I heard God today and this is what he told me to do. or told you to do, be very careful of that. When somebody says, God told me to tell you, be very careful. I get concerned when people say, God told me to do something and such. Well, I go, okay, that's between you and the Lord, okay? There's some things you just shouldn't even say. Because other people are not going to get it. Where do I find that? Is it the 1 Raymond chapter 3? No. No. Maybe that's to you. But how do we listen to the word of God? Okay, Lord, you've told us. We don't understand what's going on tomorrow. We have no idea what's happening in 30 seconds from now. And you're telling us to toe the line until then, okay? You're telling us just to toe the line. Okay. Now what? Because you're not here to speak to me. I'd like to be just following you every day like you're the goose and I'm the little, you know, duckling or whatever. Gosling. There, thank you. Yeah, sometimes, you know, today you got puppies and goslings working together there, so whatever works. I'll follow you, Lord, wherever. Okay. You're going to follow me? I'm going away. I'm going to go away. Now what? This is what he said. Luke 19:12. Jesus said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to lay claim to the kingship and then return. Beforehand, he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Conduct business with this until I return. Occupy till I come. You've heard that? Everybody's heard that, right? The word occupy. It's not in the Bible. That word is not in the Bible. But it's very helpful in some translations, and I think it's been very helpful in the church. I love it. Occupy until I come. Okay, Lord, you've given me 10 minas. 10 servants, 10 minas just means completion. It means fullness. You know, no issues there. But you just, he's given you enough, everything you need to occupy until he comes. Okay, now. Lord, now what? I'm supposed to be doing business. With what? How? Well, I've already told you. Self-proclaimed servants, but claimed as friends. Amos 3:6. If a ram's horn sounds, that's war, okay? Gather together. If a ram's horn sounds in the city, do the people of not tremble? If calamity comes to the city, has not the Lord caused it? Surely the Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets. But remember what we just said. Hebrews chapter 1. Jesus was the last prophet. John chapter 15. No longer do I call you servants. For a servant does not know what his master is doing. He does not know his master's business. But I have called you friends, because everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, how often in our lives, and to be frank with you, me and my wife over the last, I think several months, but especially the last week, like, what do we do? We got a situation. We don't know what to do. What do we do? And so I'll be sitting down in my chair, and I go, okay, I'm gonna go over and read what Abraham did. I'm going to go read what some other people did, David did. I'm going to go, what am I doing? What am I doing when I do that? I'm looking for types of people who walked in the ways of God. Their name wasn't Raymond. They didn't live in Yankton. They weren't part of Redeeming Grace Bible Church. None of these men were married to Sonia. There's no Sonia in the Bible that I know of. Sophia, I think, is the closest. So, what am I supposed to do? I mean, you talk to people who are 80 and 90 years old and tell me, and not just because of age, but they get confused about, now, wait a minute, this life is still, you know, the Lord's got me on this planet and I'm still running into things that I have to deal with. I have to make decisions. And I'd rather not make these, Lord. In fact, I'd rather just talk to you face to face. I want to talk to you face to face. And if I'm talking to myself right now, I'll just leave the room. But everybody here, Are you talking face to face with Jesus and he says, you know, this is what time I want you to get up. This is who I want you to meet today. This is the decision I want you to make about your sons or your daughters or whatever, this business. Anybody got that insight? That direct insight? I to be frank, I kind of run around scared without it. Sometimes. I do. Especially with really just in these deep decisions. Like, Lord, you didn't put me in this position, did you? Yes, I did. No, I didn't hear those words, okay, but I know it. I know it in my heart. And we talked about it in James. He's testing us. What are you going to do? Are you going to lean on the principles that you have seen in righteous people who acted on my behalf and the behalf of their own people and their families? Or are you going to act like the world? And James has already given us a list of that, hasn't he? Greed and anger and wickedness. See, he's already warned us of that. Okay, Lord, I'm kind of starting to get a picture. He calls us friends. Come aside, sit in prayer. With supplication, prayer, and thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And then what James says, he who lacks wisdom, ask of God, and don't doubt. Didn't we read that in James 1? Yes. If you lack wisdom, you ask God, who gives liberally, but do not doubt. Now what happens is, we get up from our feet, from our knees, get on our feet, and we go along and go, wait a minute, I don't think I got a direct answer. I'm a little afraid. No, don't doubt. Just go in faith. Act in faith. Do what you know. Do what you know. Be doers of the word. Do what you know. This seems like the most righteous thing. And then do it in faith. Do it in faith. I had to talk to somebody who was on the West Coast in a very difficult situation. And I said, is Jesus your Lord? Yes. You're in a particular situation. He's your sovereign God? Yes. Can you do such and such and such and such? No. Do you have to do this? Seems like it. Do it in faith. If it's not wrong, do it in faith. He is my rear guard. He's my protector. He saves me. He's my rescuer from death. I have no worries. And if he takes my life, he's going to raise me anyway. Right, people? Right, folks? He's our deliverer and our rescuer. I'm just going to do the best I can knowing the word of God. If you need a counselor, call somebody. Call me. Call Gary. Call Joe Mason. Call Bob. Call your friend who reads the Bible. Get together. Have a little Bible study. But don't be afraid. Go into it. Go into it with faith. It's found in his word. So, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. See, that's where the crux of the problem is. For you married men, I don't have to counsel you to go date another woman. Is that correct? Yeah, that's easy. Well, Raymond, pick the hard ones, you know. That's an easy one, right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. All right, we got that one. Okay. But then they start getting a little bit difficult, you know. You can go down the Ten Commandments. I got those, you know. And then you start going down to some others like, well, what's the Bible have to say about that? Where's the principle in the Bible? Whose life can you point to? Can you go to Rahab? Can you go to Tamar? Can you go to Reuben? Can you go to Judah? And in all those lives, find out what not to do and what to do? Absolutely. There are case studies galore. Some of them are gory galore, and we'd rather not read them. But that's how we walk in righteousness, though. Well, I know better not to do that. Look what God did to that person afterwards. You know, either exalted them or brought them down. He was angry or he was pleased. Go read them. Women and men, godly, and some trying to be godly. Read Lot. Read Lot's life. What he did wrong and then what he finally did right. It took his whole life. Finally got it right, and you don't find that till the New Testament. We can know what to do. You know, with this, we can occupy, right? We can stand firm. We can stand firm. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Now, I've skipped some stuff. We'll get into it next week, maybe. But right now, we're just going to skip. We're going to skip to, now that I know what to do, now what? We're going to be patient. We're going to be very patient. We're going to be like farmers. You can go talk to Dan again on that one. You can talk to Gary. You can talk to Lauren. They grow stuff. You can talk to Dave Hubbs. He knows about it. And Dave could probably talk to the issue, and Bonnie could probably talk to the issue of people who not growing right, growing in the wrong times, not growing, you know, getting whatever, and the cost of all that stuff, right? If you don't do it right, it costs you. It costs us. So, we walk and we sow, and then we're patient. Now, when it says patient, that word does not mean I sit on my derriere. I'm just gonna wait for the Lord for the next 20 years. Like, I'm just gonna stay here. And if I don't get involved in anybody else's business, it's less problematic, right? I don't have to pick up anybody else's problems because I don't want them. Okay, we'll get to that. No, we're not gonna sit around. We're not gonna sit around. We're gonna pick up the book. And we're gonna know it, and we're gonna live it. Be doers, not be sitters of the word. Be doers of the word. Like I've told you, when I was very young, I heard a minister say, "There's more do's in the Bible than there are don'ts." There's more do's than there are don'ts. Be patient. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. Who brings the rains? Dave mentioned it this morning, the Lord. He brought some early rains. There was very few, right? And then it was like nothing. There was nothing, and then there was a little bit, and then there was nothing, it seems. And now there's a good rains coming. That's very timely, I think, for the farmers. I'm thinking. We wait for those. Meanwhile, I fix the tractors and take care of those people who work for me, and I pay the wages of those people. And I'm doing those things, right, as farmers, if that's what a farmer does. But what are we doing as farmers, as Christian farmers? We do what we need to do and know that God will rain on us. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. That word establish is to strengthen. That word to establish is to make firm. Now, this is really interesting because in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful, he will establish you. The Lord is faithful, he will establish you, the same exact word, and guard you against the evil one. 1 Peter 5:10, and after you have suffered a little while, the Lord of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, that's the same word, establish, strengthen and establish you. Revelation 3:2. So now the Lord will establish us, right, in his kingdom by his Spirit. He wrote your name down, you're done. You're established, no problem. Revelation 3:2, wake up. Now, so we know what the Lord has done. But now, it's what James is saying. Establish your hearts. Revelation 3:2, wake up, establish or strengthen what remains. 2 Thessalonians 2:17, comfort your hearts and establish them. But this is really helpful, because Paul goes a little further. How do we do that? How do we do that? Like, go get a cup of coffee and sit down by the river, that kind of helps. But watch out. Specifically, he does this. Comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. You realize that the Lord has given us his program. He has given us what we need. Peter says, we have all we need for life and godliness. You have all you need. You have the Spirit of God, which Gary again talked about. We have the Word of God, which is the foundation. We have the Spirit of God, which is the power to endure, the power to know, the power to carry this out. He does everything in you, according to Philippians. He's going to carry it out. You just have to work it out. You just got to work it out. Be doers of the Word. So you've got the foundation, and you know what to do. And if you don't know what to do, he'll give you the wisdom, and you go to the Word, and you get godly counsel, and then you carry it out. You establish your heart in your work and your word, keeping the word of truth. Establish them. Here's a song. Some of you may know, back from 1980, Occupy. Anybody heard this? Anybody? Occupy, occupy. Standing firm, lifting high the holy standard. Occupy, occupy, till our captain marches in. Now, talking about Satan, he says, he'll catch your eye with some cheap disguise or innocent distraction. Then he'll infiltrate the ranks and split you into factions. He never sleeps, but constantly is planning some new angle. A soldier must be diligent to keep from getting tangled. He shall return with the armies of the Lord, the King of Kings, in vengeance wielding his sword. Got to draw his power, watching for that hour. We are his people, and he is our great reward. What a great song. Occupy. You know God's business, and you read the word, and you know more. You read it daily, and you know more. You establish your heart by reading the word and then keeping it. When somebody asks you to do something or asks for help, you establish your heart in your words. You speak righteously and tenderly and help them in their way. Finally, Jeremiah 23:22. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people and turned them back from their evil ways and deeds. You see, this is just another picture of that concept of the counsel of God. He's got a holy counsel in heaven, and he brought that counsel down to earth, and he gave it to Israel through the prophets. And now he's brought that counsel down to earth in his son, Jesus Christ. And he's established that counsel in his word. So now you, from Old Testament to New, we understand the counsel. It's like you and me are sitting in the counsel of God, okay? We have received his counsel. Now what? Live by it and proclaim it. Live by it and proclaim it. The leaders of the earth do not know what tomorrow brings, and neither do we. We do in general. We know. Because what we need to know has been established in the scriptures. But you have all you need to know going forward. If we don't know it, we establish ourselves in truth and in strength and in prayer. And then we walk. We don't sit idly. We walk in the counsel of God, and we keep his word and establish ourselves in his comfort. Please stand, and we'll just end with this verse. Thank you.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise.
Lord, we worship you this morning, and we praise you, Lord, for you are the God of all creation. You know everything from the beginning, and you are looking over our souls. You are watching over our lives. Help us not to be afraid, not to be even concerned if we can help it, Lord, to share this hope with people who are concerned, to walk rightly and be doers of the word. Help us to do that, Lord. We're sometimes not very good at it, but we pray for your continued help and strength. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the power of God within our souls. We're very grateful, Lord, that you have made us alive and that you will continue to help us through what is to come. We worship you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.